ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नास्तापृषु अपात्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। इदं भगवतं नाम पुराणं ब्रह्मसंहितं उत्तमश्लोकचरितं चकार भगवान् ऋषि निःश्रेयसाय लोकस्य धान्यां स्वस्तय नमः। मुखं करोति वाचलां पङ्गुं लङ्गायति क्रीं यत् कृपतामहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणां परमानन्दमाधवं कृष्णचैतन्येश्वरं। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। क्रान्तराज श्रीमद्भागवतं की रीड फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतं फिफ्थ कैंटो First chapter, text 40. Pu samsthanam kritam yena sarit giri vanadibi sima cha puta Nivrityai Dvipe Dvipe Vibhagasaha Pusam Stanam Kritam Yena Pusam Stanam Kritam Yena Sarit Giri Vanadibihi Sarit Giri Vanadibihi Sima Chaputta Nivrityai Sima Chaputta Nivrityai Dvipe Dvipe Vibhakasaha Dvipe Dvipe Vibhakasaha Pusamstaram kritam yena Sarit giri vanatibihi Sima chaputta nivrityai Dvipe dvipe vipakasaha
Matajis.
Pusamstanam, the situation of the earth. Kritam, done. Yena. By whom? Sarit. By rivers. Giri. By the hills and mountains. Vana Adibi. By forests and so on. Shima. Boundaries. Cha. Also. Buddha. Of nations. Nivrityai. To stop fighting. Dvipe, dvipe. On the various islands. Vibhagasaha. Separately. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Gitai. To stop the quarreling among different peoples, Maharaj Priyavrata marked boundaries at rivers and at the edges of mountains and forests so that no one would surpass or trespass upon another's property. Purport. The example set by Maharaj Priyavrata in marking of different states is still followed. As indicated here, different classes of men are destined to live in different areas, and therefore the boundaries of areas of land which are described here as islands or dvipas should be defined by different rivers, forests, and hills. This is also mentioned in relation to Maharaj Prithu, who was born from the dead body of his father by the manipulation of great sages. Maharaj Prithu's father was very sinful, and therefore a black man called Nishada was first born from his dead body. The Nishada or Naishada race was given a place in the forest because by nature they are thieves and rogues. Animals are given places in various forests and hills. Men who are like animals are also destined to live there. One cannot be promoted to civilized life unless one comes to Krishna consciousness. For by nature, one is destined to live in a particular situation according to one's karma and association with the modes of nature. If men want to live in harmony and peace, they must take to Krishna consciousness, but they cannot achieve the highest standard while absorbed in the bodily concept of life. Maharaj Priyavrata divided the surface of the globe into different islands so that each class of man would live peacefully and not clash with others. The modern idea of nationhood has gradually developed from the division made by Maharaj Priyavrata. To stop the quarreling among different Maharaj Priyavrata marked boundaries at rivers and at the edges of mountains and forests so that no one would trespass upon another's property. So that's some of the concluding verses of this chapter 1 of 5th canto, describing the activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. Maharaj Priyavrata, he was son of Svayambhuv Manu. He had two sons, Uttanapad and other one Priyavrata. He also had three daughters. They were all given to different sages. One was the famous Devahuti, who became the wife of the Kashyapa Muni, and she became the mother of Kapila Dev. And he also had two other daughters, Akuti and Prasuti. They became wives of Maharaj Daksha, who was famous also as the Prajapati, father of all kinds of living beings to populate the universe. So all these Manus and their descendants had a very difficult task, pioneer task, because they had to create universe, create planets, dvipas, they're called dvipas, different floating islands, like planets, also like dvipa. It's like floating in the universal sphere. So on their higher and their middle and their lower plant resistance. And this middle plant resistance is called Bhuloka, and a little higher, Bhuvarloka, and the higher loka in the heaven. What we call heaven, or the Devaloka, is known as Svargaloka. Like in Gayatri, Om Bhur Bhuva Svaha. So this is there. And the sun, the Surya, is in the center of these lokas to spread light in all directions. So on this Manu and his sons, they had to create different islands and create living entities, citizens, prajas, who populated this. That shows that actually all the islands are populated since time immemorial with humans, higher elevated, and also some who are, tribals who live in the forest and the jungles and in the hills. So that's always going on since time immemorial. Actually, this story here in Bhagavatam is very, very old. Actually, our historians, they cannot trace back this time. Why? Because it is gone back to the first Manvantar, Svayambhuv Manu. He's the first. He's one of the Mahajanas, 12 great authorities of the Sanatana Dharma. So there are 14 Manus in a day of Brahma. And in which Brahma we live today? In which Manvantar? Somebody knows? The second or third or fourth? Or more? The seventh. And what is his name? Vaivasvata. Son of Vivashvan. We know him from Bhagavad Gita. Because he heard this transcendental knowledge from the Lord, Vaivasvata Manu. And he gave it to his son, Ikshvaku. And Ikshvaku gave it to his son, Manu. So in this way, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and in general the Vedic knowledge descended to the Earth planet, what we know as Earth, Bhurloka. This actually belongs to Jambudvip, Jambu. Since Maharaj Priyavrata's time, he created 7 dvipas by his very powerful chariot and by his influence. So he was a very special person and a very empowered person. And there are actually three sampradayas or family lines, not necessarily spiritual, but where the great kings appearing. One is from the moon god, where Krishna appeared, and many other great personalities. They appeared in the Soma Vamsa. Then Lord Ramachandra, very famous, he appeared in the Surya Vamsa, Raghu dynasty. But there's also a great line coming from the Manus, from Manu dynasty, family line, Manu Vamsa. And Maharaj Parivrata is very glorious and very famous. He actually glorified this Vamsa of Manu because he descended in this line of Manu. And Manu is not an ordinary person. He's an avatar. He's a manvantar. There are, as we know, avatars, about five or six avatar groups who are either directly the Lord or empowered by the Lord or empowered by empowering from empowered, shaktya, by the energy. So there are Leela avatars, there are Shakti Avesha avatars, there are Yuga avatars, what else we have? Manvantara avatar, and Leela, we have already. What else? Guna avatar, yes, three of them, And? I already mentioned. Five, I think there are six. Yuga? Purusha avatar, yes. Purusha avatar, we have not to forget. Also important, because without them, no creation. We all would not be here now. So, there are different avatars. Of course, there's also a seventh avatar. It's called Archa avatar, the deity. It's the seventh avatar. So all these avatars, they're coming down with a certain mission, with a certain purpose. And the main purpose is they want to do something good for the universe. They're Mangala. Their mission is Mangala or Sumangala. It is very auspicious. It's not inauspicious. So whatever they create, whatever they try to maintain, or whatever they maintain, whatever they establish is auspicious for everyone. So therefore, since already beginning of universe and beginning of the manifestation of the earthly realm, what we know as Earth, or Jambudvip, ancient name of this broad region, it's not only the Earth planet, it includes a huge system known as Bhuloka, that is created by and manifested by these great personalities who are all empowered by Lord Brahma and ultimately by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So whenever they come, they do something very extraordinary for the human mind and brains. Because we are too tiny to understand what they're doing. Therefore, even these personalities like or Brahma or Narada, they are also sometimes, although they are jiva tattva, they are also sometimes glorified as or addressed as Bhagavan, because they represent a certain power of the Supreme Lord, Bhaga. No? And all the Lord's powers are auspicious powers. Everyone is desiring them because they are representing the supreme glory of the Lord. They're never in darkness. They're always in the mode of goodness or transcendental goodness even. And therefore, this is beneficial. This brings to the light. That means such a creation and activities elevates the consciousness of everyone who is in living under such a kind of rule. So therefore, since the beginning of the world, there was actually intelligent beings, very powerful beings, kings, kings and brahmanas and all kinds of wonderful creatures appeared by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, to populate this universe and do good for those souls who come to this universe separated of the Lord. Because in the Vaikuntha, in the spiritual world, there is everything in harmony. Why? Because Krishna is the center. If Krishna is the center, if we make Krishna the center, then automatically there's harmony, there's peace, there's enthusiasm, happiness, joy, there's cooperation. But soon we forget Krishna, and that's what happened in the material world. The tendency is here that we forget the goal of our life, the center of our life, the purpose of our life. And therefore everything has the tendency to fall in darkness of ignorance and passion, Rajaguna and Tamaguna. And because Tamaguna and Rajaguna is very prominent in the material world, there's always a tendency for competition, a tendency to become envious and jealous to others, because somebody has more than another one, so that others become jealous, and they become angry, and we try to suburb, or how we say, to conquer, or stealing, or taking by force somebody else's property. Although Isha Upanishad and other Upanishads mention that Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam Yachagatam Chagat, and this universe is under the control of Isha, the Supreme Lord, Ishvara, Parameshvara, Krishna, and he takes care for everyone. He maintains everyone. And according to our karma, somebody has more, somebody has less. And also certain peoples, they live in different sections of the earth. That was at least originally the way. There was no intermingling of different races and cultures and beliefs. Everyone had their region. So the king, who was representative of the Lord, he arranged, that everyone could live peacefully according to his belief, according to his way of culture and thinking. Because belief, what is also ultimately the belief in this world? Everyone accepts a certain belief according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, according to our nature and according to our geographical situation we are. Therefore, especially in Kali Yuga, we have so many different religions. Well, we have so many different religions, so many different ideas of what is God and how to approach Him and how to live ideally. But all of these mundane religions, because they're all in the gunas, in either in Raja or Tama, or maybe a little Sattva Guna, or maybe even very good Sattva Guna, they live in different ways. Have different beliefs, and they authorize different kinds of ways, but in other religions, especially in the higher, in the Parodharma religion, is not accepted, like eating animals, killing animals, even fish and egg. It's not accepted by people who are in the mode of goodness or who want to understand the highest goal of life, of pure love to God, to Krishna. So it's not acceptable to eat untouchable food. But there are certain religions in the material world who give authorization for that, as we all know. So they blessed it, in the name of religion. And the people can do certain things, what in other higher religions are forbidden. Therefore, here in India, since time immemorial, this Vedic culture or Aryan culture is very prominent, because of the goodness, because of the quality of life, and higher transcendental understanding about the meaning of life. They're not in ignorance. And those who were in ignorance, they could not live in the Vedic culture. They lived in the jungles and in tribals, in the hills. So Priyavrata, As a representative of Brahma and Svayambhuva Manu and as Lord Manvantar, he created different kinds of islands, dvipas, and he divided the dvipa geographical zones according to rivers and mountains, like we also have nowadays. Sometimes the mountains become a border in the middle. They have in the top of the mountain, they have this borderline where they always watch that nobody crossing over to the other side to attack. Like in Himalaya, in the Himalayas, you're bordering with China and with other countries, you know. And therefore, there is always borderlines there. A watchman, military man, with their rackets and all kinds of defense material what they have, you know, to protect. And it's an ordinary citizens that cannot go there because it's a highly protected place, military place, so I cannot go near to that. Therefore, sometimes if you go to the Himalayas, those of you who went, you can see you cannot go to certain regions because it's military zone. That means they're bordering there near China or other countries. Or Pakistan, here in India. And in other countries, they have the same thing. Sometimes also rivers, always control along the rivers, that nobody can swim over from the other country to come to your side without passport, without visa. Of course, previously they didn't have passport and visa. Nowadays, they have this. It's Kali Yuga. So, but in the Vedic time, they had also different countries. They had different places where different peoples could live peacefully together and cultivate their dharma. Their first of all to follow their occupation and also absorbed in faith to worship the Lord, so that actually all our activities, all our different kinds of occupations that we have, even if you're a king or if you're an Shudra, is ultimately to glorify the Lord. So in the Bhagavatam also it is stated that every kind of a person, the Yavanas, Hunas, Pulindras, Kasha, Raises, Shukadev Goswami describes, they all actually become purified if they are glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Prabhu Vishnu. He's all-powerful. So if we glorify him, that's actually the peace formula what Bhagavad Gita gives, what Prabhupada has given us. As long as we don't have a God as center, but our country, nationalism, or even in small communities or cities and villages, other planets, if there is not a harmony with God, and an interest actually to please him and to satisfy him and to engage all our work for his pleasure, then there can never be a peace and harmony. So therefore the Vedic kings, they always make kingdoms and places where people could live together in cooperative spirit. And the goals were set to worship Lord Vishnu or Krishna, to please him with one's occupation, with one's activities. So everyone was directed by the Ani, like Maharaj Priyavrata. Maharaj Prithu here is also mentioned in the purport by Srila Prabhupada, how Maharaj Prithu was actually born from a very sinful person, Vena, the king. He was a very demoniac man. an enemy of Brahminical culture. You want to destroy everything already since childhood. You had no goodness. He was only quarreling with each and everyone he met, with his schoolmates, and wanted to even kill them sometimes. And he made all kinds of troubles. Already as a small boy, he created troubles. He was behaving like a demon. And then later on, of course, he became the king because his father, Anga, he was frustrated. Oh, what kind of son I created here? He created a disturbance, and I cannot rectify him, and even overcomes everyone here and me. So he left in frustration and left the kingdom behind, you know, to the Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas, of course, when they saw that the king was not ideal, that he was a tyrant, or very not to control, and he made so much trouble to the citizens, instead to give them peace and supplying them what they need, he exploited and killed and punished everyone he could, only for his own interest. He was a madman. He was completely madman. So they the Brahmanas thought, there's only one thing: you have to curse him. So they cursed him, you know, that he was that he died. But then, you know, he was a son of Anga, the only son. So what to do? They want to do. Who is the next king? How the citizens will be protected? How they will be maintained, how everything will be, ordered or taken care for the proper order. If there's no powerful hand taking care, then there's so much troubles. The thieves and the rascals are taking over and plundering the honest and citizens in a nation. So therefore, it's always important to have strong hand, strong control of a country. If this goes away, no, everything becomes falls apart. Whatever good was built up before. So what to do? So they thought, okay, we take the body of this Vena and we churn it. And then they churn first his legs, and from this churning, this Naishada race appeared. They're dark men, living in the jungles, tribals. And in the Vedic time, it was not expected for the tribals and for those who are not civilized to follow the principle so much. For civilized men, it is important to follow the principle, to follow Dharma and to worship the Lord and to live a life in goodness, self-control and charity and well-wishing and peace of mind. Sense of mind control like that. That's the meaning of human form of life. That everyone more or less has to have some or at least attempt to go in this direction to achieve such a kind of qualities. Because they're representing the goodness, what is most near to God consciousness. Without that, it's very difficult to become God conscious. If we only live in passion and ignorance and do whatever we like, and so that's not possible. We cannot achieve that goal. So therefore, these that Brahmanas, they churned this Naishada man, and they gave him the place to live. No? Not in the center of the kingdom. They sent him to the jungle. You can live there. And then from the arms of Vena, they created Prithu Maharaj, the Shakti Avesha avatar, representative of the Lord, with his wife together. Both of them appeared simultaneously as the son, so-called son of Vena, who was actually a big rascal. But these Brahmanas were very powerful, very qualified. They were like alchemists, so they could create this manifest, the Supreme Lord. the Adi Raj. Prithu Maharaj is known as Adi Raj, original king, the ideal king. A king, Adi Raj can also mean the king whom everyone as an example or should follow. So he gives an original example how a king should live. How a president or a leader, any leader, in a big term or in a smaller place, should live. So therefore, the Lord always arranges example of good leaders. We can find whole Srimad Bhagavatam, mostly we see qualified leaders. Of course, we also see, especially the next story, one of a descendant of Priyavrata, Agnidra, who became, it's a very interesting story, how he actually became very much attracted to fruitive activity. He didn't put the Vrata or the determination of Priyavrata, who actually was a devotee. Although he created so much wonderful things in this universe, but nobody else could imitate and attain, and he had everything: nice wife, opulences, and everything, and he wonderful deeds. But ultimately, he gave everything up like nothing. He had no interest, and because he was devoted to the Lord since the beginning. That's also interesting of Priyavrata's life. He was trained from the beginning by Narada, by his guru, to have perfect life, to have already detachment. But therefore he was actually ideal, because he was already trained in brahmachari. And therefore he could become a good leader. Somebody who is not trained as brahmachari and went through a training of guru, he cannot become a leader, ultimately. He cannot be a perfect leader. He will fail. Because he has his mind and senses not under control, and therefore he creates a hell, even of a place who maybe is not destined to be hellish. Because our planet, we have the choice. Like Kapila Dev says, according to our activities, it can become hellish, or it also can become svarga. It can become heavenly. Depends always on our mentality. It's the mind. The mind who creates out of even a heavenly place will become hell. And the hell, if you have the proper mentality of devotion, will become heaven or Vaikuntha even. Therefore, for a devotee, it doesn't matter where he lives, in Svarga or Apavarga, liberation, or in hell, Naraka, Narakeshu, Apituliata Darshina. Because wherever he goes, he sees the Lord. That's his interest. And such a person, I for live in every place, and he will create a heavenly or a Vaikuntha atmosphere. It will become wonderful for everyone, not only for him. The ideal leader is not looking just for him. He looks actually for others. How to benefit others. How to care for others. He's not exploiting. He's not taking for himself, because he himself sees, thinks, I'm a servant. He's a servant. A leader, the ideal leader is a servant. He's not the master. He doesn't consider himself master. He's a servant of his dependents. And he shows them nice example by achara, so that others could follow. So Maharaj Priyavrata, he had this achara from very beginning. He had no interest in ruling, in powers, in getting opulences, a nice family life. No interest in that. Only because there was need to be a king who could success, who could continue with the previous kingship of Uttanapad, who already left the forest, and also others, his sons, they also already left. So there was no proper king, and he was in the bloodline. So there was only the only chance for the universe and for the benefit of the people is that they to approach Priyavrata, to request him. So Brahma, nobody else than Brahma could do that. So they asked Brahma. Brahma went, and Brahma convinced Uttana Priyavrata and also his spiritual master, Narada, to give blessing to him so that he could take up the kingdom without becoming entangled. That's another important lesson we can get from Priyavrata. He ruled the kingdom, but he was practically living like Brahmachari. He was not attached. He was detached from the doer. I'm the doer. I'm the creator. I'm the great powerful person. He was completely detached. Therefore, for such a person, if he is Brahmachari, Grihastha, big leader, or whatever position he is, he's always detached because he's attached. We cannot stay detached with nothing. Only if you have a higher goal, if you have a higher attachment, the param trishtva nivartate, if you have the attachment to the Lord, then if you can become attracted to the beautiful qualities of Krishna or Lord Vishnu or any of his beautiful, all attractive forms, then one actually naturally becomes detached as a byproduct. So a devotee doesn't have to work on detachment or jnana, knowledge, with his by his own endeavor. It comes naturally. Of course, there's the training to fix on the higher goal of bhakti. And if bhakti is clear, if the goal, bhaktya, Krishna, is clear, and the bhakti process is clear, and that we are eternal servants of Krishna, bhaktas, if this is clear, then whatever occupation, whatever position one is set by the arrangement of the Lord or by representatives of him is perfect. It is beneficial for ourselves and is beneficial for others. And so therefore Priyavrata set perfect example from the beginning, in the middle, and also in the end, how to ultimately also renounce and prepare the next kings, his sons, seven of number, put them in charge for the seven planets, or seven dvipas, and he gave them borderlines and made arrangements, and also that nobody will disturb. This verse actually today is a summary also of the whole activity. It's a glorification of Maharaj Priyavrata, like the previous yesterday's verse. They glorify, in summary, the wonderful activity of the great personality Maharaj Priyavrata, who set a wonderful example. And while people are so blind, leaders today, they cannot follow examples like Priyavrata because they think this is mythology, this is not possible, this is an imagination. No. But they cannot, because they have no faith, they have no belief in personalities like that, like Priyavrata or King Prithu or Lord Ramachandra. They cannot accept that, unfortunately. They cannot accept. And therefore they concoct their own ideas, how to rule, how to control, how what they consider bringing happiness in this world and for the citizens. But actually, instead that they create something pleasing for the Lord and for the his eternal part and parcels, they create more and more hellish condition. So, Hare Krishna. Therefore, it's very important to chant Hare Krishna in these circumstances because the Sankirtan and the book distribution and the prasadam distribution and the preaching, prachar, of the glories of the Lord, and to teach the people how to serve Krishna by following the examples of great personalities like Maharaj Priyavrata and other personalities in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then that is a great work. It's para upakara. It's actually the most important mission nowadays to do. To preach, to expand, to spread Krishna consciousness on all levels of people's understanding so that they can accept the principle of Sanatana Dharma and come out of this hellish condition, especially in Kali Yuga, today's time. It's hellish condition. And it looks like it becomes more and more hellish. But the Sankhita movement, the Lord has a plan to establish Sankhita movement, to spread that the holy name and this knowledge, Vedic culture, in the form of Bhagavata culture. We cannot introduce Vedic culture anymore because that's the time gone. But we can accept the Vedic principles, the Sanatana Dharma. It's eternal, this principle. It's not practical in that time and not practical today. Because whatever was practical in that time, because it was built up of knowledge, it's also practical today. But the modern leaders and modern kind of people, and any leader kind of leadership, that they want always to invent new ways of management, of control, and knowledge, and culture. But that is not ultimately built up on knowledge, on Veda, and therefore it is ignorance. Although it sounds sometimes very good, very nice, but it is actually ignorance, and it will fall apart at any time, and it will not have any benefit on the long term for the people. So Vedic knowledge has long-term benefit for everyone, peace and harmony, and ultimately love to Krishna. And to follow that path is a prime duty of every human being, and to spread it also is, especially for those who know what is the truth, what is the remedy for this dark age and for this situation today. The only thing to do is to dedicate oneself to the Sankhita mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Follow Srila Prabhupada's footsteps. Be representative of him to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world, in every town and village. He had this belief. For him, this was not only India or Bengal. It was the whole world, even the whole universe ultimately. Sankhita movement will spread all over the universe ultimately and will benefit everyone. Therefore, there is Param Vichaitesi Krishna Sankhitan. Okay, Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, Grantaraj Simha Bhakatam, Gichai. Maybe one or two questions? Ready? Okay, then let's go take prasadam. Close Prabhupada.